that I begin this service by singing number 252. 252. Jehovah sits enthroned in majesty, most bright, appareled in omnipotence, and girded round with might. Number 252. We will read to you from God's holy word, the book Revelation, the 8th chapter. And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is in thy long suffering and in thy tender mercy that we are privileged in this evening hour of this prayer day to come up to the house of worship, to call upon thy holy name and to hear thy word and testimony, which is an everlasting word. That it may please thee to open the scriptures in this evening, and that we can expound the mysteries in that word, also in regard to times in which we are living and the future that lays before us. But Lord, give also that our hearts and the hearts of our children may be receptive for the word that shall come unto us. With rapid stripes we are flying to the end of the world and to the end of time, but also to the end of our own life personally. Prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and in peace, that the day of our death, that it shall be better than the day that we were born, that we find peace with the Lord in the blood of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, that we are covered with his perfect righteousness and holiness, that we not shall stand naked in that great day of judgment. And where so many warnings and admonitions are coming unto us and to our country in the serious times in which we are living, that we take heed to thy word that shall come to us in this evening. Sanctify it to our hearts, to the honor of thy name and to our soul's eternal salvation. Where the time is short, where the iniquity is increasing, and land and people make himself ripe for the judgments of the Lord. Remember our country, remember our president, remember our governors, and all those that rule over us, also in this city. Give wisdom and understanding, and that we together with them were asking for the word and for the law and for the testimony, because otherwise we shall have no light. Lord, leave us not over to ourselves. Remember us also in this year and in this season that lays before us, each and every one. Bless the labors of our hand. Bless all the labors in the field and in the industry, and each and every one in the calling that is laid upon our shoulders. Fill our hearts with the fear of thy name, that there come a sorrow after sin, a breaking with sin, a returning to the holy precepts of the Lord. Then only is there expectation, and otherwise there is nothing laying before us as a destruction of the whole world. All the sick and afflicted that cannot gather with us, we commend them by renewing at thy throne with all the boys in the service and in the battlefield, that thy eyes were open over them in mercy by day and by night. Remember all those that in sorrow and in bereavement, also the orphans and widowers. And widowers, remember them together after the greatness of thy mercies, and grant also thy servants what they stand in need of, some also in their weakness of the body. Be with them and help them in the prime of their life. And give also us in this evening of some edifying words to speak in the midst of the congregation, and that to us to the conversion of sinners, even that it were some, even that it was one, there will be joy in heaven amongst the holy angels. Remember thy children. Give them in this evening some provision on their pathway to the desert and wilderness of this world. Forgive all our sin and hear us for thy great name's sake. Amen. And number 244. We start with the second stanza. The collection will be for our school, as you know. Number 244. Each succeeding generation at thy mighty word spears. Thou dost count in time's duration one day as 1,000 years, a number 244, and we start with the second stanza. Beloved congregation, it must well be for all of us a wonder that the Lord, in his mercy and in his long suffering, had given us this prayer day, that the Lord, in his righteous judgment, had not destroyed land and people, but still, also in the time that lays behind us in this winter, that the Lord had not destroyed us and not given over to another third world war. The mercies of the Lord are still great and manifold, but to take it to heart, that is something else. And still, the times in which we are living are very serious. Some people would say, you have told us that for years, and indeed, you are right. But what they are talking about in respect to that, you find that also in the second epistle of Peter, where in those days also some people say, where is now the promise of his future? Everything that stay the same as before. But you know what instruction that Peter had given to that congregation, that one day in the sight of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years before the Lord as one day, but still, that the time is drawing nigh, that the Lord shall come with his judgment over the world, but also that he shall come to our own country. I will say this evening something about it, and my text is in the Revelation of John, the 8th chapter, verse 10 and 11. Revelation 8, verse 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. That is my text for this evening. The text that speak about the judgment of the Lord over the rivers and the fountains. We see in that judgment, in the first place, the executing of God's righteousness. In the second place, the awful result after God's judgments. And then finally, the mercies of the Lord in sparing two parts of the world at a present time. There is in the revelation of the young congregation a connection in regard to the chapters. In the sixth chapter, at the end, there you read about the great day of God's wrath, that no one shall stand in that day when the Lord shall come. But in the seventh chapter, then you read that the Lord never shall come, then only when his servants shall be sealed on their forehead. And then also in the later part of Revelation 7, there you are reading about the blessedness of God's children, that they shall be taken up in glory, and that they shall be delivered out of that great tribulation. But then afterwards, John, he was very sorrowful. And that was in regard to the opening of that book that was in the hand of Christ. But now, all those seals, there were seven of them, all those seals were broken up, and it has pleased the Lord to reveal the contents of those seals one after one. And then after that last seal was opened, then there was in heaven silence about the space of half an hour. That was thus in heaven, not here on earth. And what the meaning is of that silence in heaven, the reason were, of course, that the inhabitants of heaven, that they were so confused and to a certain extent perplexed over all judgments that the Lord would bring upon the world. Those inhabitants of heaven, they came under a deep impression, because for a half hour there was in heaven a silence. Otherwise, they were always busy in heaven to proclaim the glory and the majesty of the Lord. But now they were silent. And that not only about the judgments, but also about the results of it. They have seen in heaven that after the execution of the righteousness and justice of God, that there was no humbleness amongst the inhabitants of the world. That people in heaven, that was under deep impression. There was also a certain compassion when they have heard that Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would bring all those judgments upon the children of men. And of course, the question that is for each and everyone all the time, what was the result for me? And what was the fruit for you? There are several judgments executed by the Lord in the last years that we are living. But we see it also before our eyes. And we have not to walk so far away. We can stay in our house, in our family, with ourselves, that there is no humbleness, and that the world goes on and the church is behind it. I say this morning in my sermon, we have this year 366 days. 366. And now in all those days, the Lord have to take care for us. The Lord have to uphold us. Because otherwise, what shall become of us? And there are so many needs and wants in temporal life, in regard to our fields, in regard to the industry, in regard to our whole life, and that there is almost no time to come together to ask for the blessing of the Lord. And that becomes a less, more and more. The Lord have smitten, but no pain. No pain. And then after that seventh seal was opened, then all those seven angels, they receive a trumpet. And John, he saw that there was an angel standing by the altar with a golden censer. And that refers to the prayers of God's people who have learned in their life to pray to the Lord. And it is only through that golden altar that those prayers of that people goes up to heaven. That refers also to Christ as that great intercessor who is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Without that Christ and without the mediatorial work of that Christ, our prayers have no meaning and no sense. Therefore, it is so necessary to tarry with that golden altar time and again to bring our needs and our wants before the Most High, Because only the Lord can supply the needs also for the year which lay now before us, and that in a twofold way, that is not only outwardly for our daily life, but that is also for our spiritual life as travelers to that great and ever-ending eternity. But now in the later part of that Revelation 8, there you read that that first angel that had used his trumpet over the whole world, that noise that was heard, and then there came from heaven hail and fire. That hail that refers to a destroying, but that fire that refers to the comfort of God's people, that their prayers be answered. There shall be always, under all the judgments, there shall be no some remnant of the true church and of God's children. But now there came a judgment over the sea, and then the third part of the sea that changed in blood. But it came closer, the judgment of the Lord, because you read also in this chapter that a third part of the boats perished or be wrecked, destroyed in other words. And then the world is filled with fire and with blood, with death and destruction. You can see that everywhere. And if you think what shall be the result when that judgment shall come, what shall lay then at the bottom of the sea? But more closer, after every angel that trumpet, more closer are coming the judgments of the Lord. In our text it speaks about the rivers and the fountains of water. Maybe you will ask me, what is now the meaning? What is now the mystery that we read here in that text this evening about the rivers and the fountains of waters? In olden times, then the rivers had a great meaning in regard to the business of the world. Of course, if you come in New York, then you can see there's something also about it, and in California, where the great boats are coming in and leaving time and again. And when you are standing by the harbor in New York or California or Boston and other places more, then you see what a business that there is, and that all through the rivers they bring several things with boats from one place to another. But now when that judgment of the Lord shall come over the rivers, then the business shall be stopped. And if there is a stopping of the business, then you can well realize and figure out, then there comes poverty over the whole world. Thousands and thousands, they are working by the harbors and on the boats, but also thousands and thousands have to live from the business that they sell and that they buy, one as well as the other. Thus, the judgment over the rivers, that means that everything come to a standstill. There is no more business. And that is an awful blow for the world. And that is now foretold here in my text in this evening in Revelation 8. But there is something else involved with that. When we read in the Bible about rivers, then we are thinking also about fruitfulness. We have in Exodus the river Nile in Egypt. And sometime in a year, then the water of that river that flows over that river, besides that river, and the whole fruitfulness of the land of Egypt was, when that water flows out of that river upon the land, if they were missing that, then there was also poverty. There was no harvest. There was almost nothing. And if there is not much nothing in the field and on the farms, then you can well realize then there comes in the world a great famine. About the Nile, you read about the Tigris, the Euphrates, we read about the Jordan, about Crete, and more rivers are mentioned in the Bible, and of course, they have older prophets also for this temporal life. But now, a judgment over the rivers and upon the fountains of the world, upon the springs and the streams. The fountains that refers to the principle of life. And if there is no water in the fountains, or the water is changing in blood or poisoned by something that is cast in those fountains, then the people have also to die. When there is no water, then that refers to an awful misery that there comes over the world. But of course there is not something else involved with those fountains. It happens so many times that out of those fountains that there come dams, and that out of that poisoned water that are coming so much sickness in the world, many times sicknesses for which is no cure. You hear sometime that on account of drinking of some water, that there comes sickness amongst the people. Sometime that sickness that is so awful that many people is dying on account that they were drinking that water. And then there is not something else. You think of Versini, where was a flood last time, so many thousand people without homes, losing everything that they have as their own in this world. And now the Lord, he had promised in Genesis 9 verse 15, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. But that means not that the Lord can give in some places of the world an awful destruction by the world. And then you read in that text here, the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. Thus, the text that speak about a great star from heaven burning as it were a lamp. Now there is some explainers of the Bible that refers that star to an angel. You read in the Bible that sometime angels are mentioned as stars. You read that also in Revelation about the seven congregations in Myra and Asia. Then you read time and again about the angel of that congregation. And now in the Bible you have other examples. One angel that killed in one night so many people in Egypt, even men and beast, the firstborn of everything. And we read also about an angel in the days of the king Hezekiah, that in one night that they were killed 185,000 Assyrians. But there is some other explanation that is given in our text this evening. The name of that star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became Wormwood. And what is now the meaning of Wormwood? In the Holland Bible is mentioned the name Elsom. And Wormwood, that is finally the same that refers to bitterness, that the Lord shall bring over the world a bitterness as that there never was. In disaster, it even in sickness or in the business and in every daily life, the name of the star is called Wormwood. And then the third part of the waters that became Wormwood. Thus, that was the reason that so many people died. many times you hear that years ago was that also, that there were so many people that was fearing for Russia. Then they say, if that nation come here in our country, what shall we do? What can we do when that power shall come in our country? Later on, they were not so much talking about Russia, but then China came instead of it. And now there came a little friendship, and they hope that it has some result for the future. But you read well in this text, congregation, that the Lord need no Russia, and he need no China. The Lord, he need nothing. Because that star, that great star that fell from heaven, does every man, every nation that is placed outside by the Lord. And that shall also be in the executing of the judgments of the Lord. We have even here in the world, under the ground, we have all the fuel that one day the world shall burn up. And now the Lord, he can use what he wants. In the other part of this chapter, then you read about sun, moon, and stars, that there was also a third part slain by the Lord, and what had also his result in the life of the nations and of the people. The Lord is an almighty God. The Lord, he is just, and the Lord, he is right in all his ways. And the question that is, why that now the Lord sent that great star from heaven falling upon the world, upon the rivers and about, upon the fountains? That is our sin, personally, the sin of our families, the sin of the church, and the sin of the world, that shall bring the bitterness finally over the world. We have so many callings and warnings, people, for years and for years. We have two world wars already, and a third one that is standing before the door. That is standing before the door. All the nations of the world working so hard to make instruments that in a short time millions of people shall be destroyed. It is told you also, congregation, that it is 5 to 12, but who do believe it? Who takes it to heart? Personally, in our families, in the country, you read nothing about it, you hear nothing in the speeches when they talk in general in the White House, when they talk in Lansing, when they talk here in Grand Rapids, where Where is the acknowledgement that we have sinned and provoked the Lord? Where? They don't even know what sin is. You are astonished when you come sometime in connection with doctors and you ask some. You shall well know the reason of all that sickness here in this hospital. Last was one of the doctors, he said, I don't know. I don't know what the reason is. It is natural that men have to die. But another reason, I don't know. And then the condition, people, in which we are. The condition in which we are. Taken up last week in the plane, Chicago paper, one morning. Then I saw there that a man, a father, that he had shot his own boy, 14 years old, on account of the trouble that they have in that family on account of drugs and marijuana. And that father was so tired of it and he shot that boy. He had to come, of course, for the judge. But when you read all those things in our country, that is really covered with blood. Covered with blood, people. And you don't know, congregation, how close that we shall be the time that we can no more travel, that we have to stay home. You become more and more afraid even to traveling, stepping in a plane, that you think, what shall happen with us, really? What shall happen? That picture that you saw in the press this evening from Kennedy Airport in New York, that bomb that was later in that plane, and such a plane, it was destroyed. It was destroyed. The world become more and more without conscience. And it is money, and it is blood, and it is sex, and it is everything that is against the word of God. They gave me a paper this week in Chicago from a Christian high school. The questions that the boys and the girls have to answer. There was one of that board that came against it. And he wrote a piece against all those questions. But it would not be edifying if I would read those questions in this evening from the pulpit. But really, you are become quiet if you read the questions that are asked on young boys to make a decision how that they desire to live with one another outside of married life. And maybe I told you already, but in one piece written by a minister from the Christian Reformed Church, he wrote about, he gave there a certain number of children that are now were born in Vietnam and the boys are in home in this country, but the number of more than 20,000. And that minister he placed there in question, shall those girls ever receive a check for that boy or for that girl? Shall they ever hear about it? Shall they forget everything? But you can well realize that there's only some things, people. But a great star fall from heaven. And the name of that star, that is Wormwood. Because the Lord, he comes at his time, people. At his time. We shall now sing and a few words and we close for this evening. The last stanza of 137, bring thou to God the gift of thanks and pay thy vows to God Most High. Call ye upon my holy name in days when sore distress is nigh. Deliverance I will send to thee, and praise thou shalt give to me. 137, the sixth stanza. The judgment of the Lord over the rivers and the fountains. The execution of God's righteousness. The awful result after the judgment, because there is no changing in life. No repentance, no conversion. Het leven en het leven, even that there is no God in heaven. But an awful thought, the greatest judgment congregation is that man hardened his heart. And if we harden our hearts, then the Lord shall harden our hearts as he had did with Pharaoh in the time of Moses. My last point this evening, that is the mercies of the Lord in sparing two parts of the world at that present time. Because you read here in the text, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And now 14 times you read in the revelation of John about a third part. 14 times. Let the children look it up in the Bible, in the Revelation of John, 14 times about a third part. It is every time a third part, but still two part is still not spared by the Lord. It is in Revelation 8, not a totally destroying of the world, that the world come to an end. It is a third part. And now to that two third part that is still alive, there the call come from the Lord, harden not your heart. And that the Lord had no pleasure in the death of a sinner, but well in his repentance and in his conversion. God's storm, God's wrath that is as a fire that is burning against the sin and unrighteousness of the world people, but still the Lord show his mercy also in the days in which we are living. Two part is still spared. And that is for a special reason, people. That is not that the Lord had nothing in his sight and to destroy, but well, that they come to conversion, that they bow before the Most High, confessing their guilt and their sin, that they break with sin, that they come to the acknowledgement, as we sing in Psalm 93, the Lord reigns, and he is clothed with majesty. For the United States, it is still time to repent. It is still time to return to the Lord. But you know, congregation, what there goes on. Also among the rulers of our country and nation, and fighting with one another, and slandering one another, that he shall have the most votes to soon to become a president, shall there be one that come on his knees? Shall there be one that have an eye for the serious condition of the country, and that speaks up also in Supreme Court? But no, it goes farther and farther. Parents, when the children are 18 years old, they have nothing more to say over them. No. The children have their own mind. They have their own judgment. And they can do what they want. And if they be, and that happened with several, if they are tired about their father and their mother, then they say goodbye. They will be free. They will live their own life. Oh, boys and girls, please, please, step not upon the heart of your parents. Honor your father and your mother. It are the powers placed over you by the Lord. And they are not perfect, you know that. They are not perfect, no weak persons. But the Lord lays authority upon that people. They are placed above you. And what shall we can we expect if we transgress the commandments of the Lord, when we provoke the Lord to anger? What shall be the end? A star, a great star, that fell from heaven, and it became a judgment for the inhabitants of the world, young and old. It is possible that we have today our last prayer day. It is possible that this day never come back in our life. What a thought. What a thought. That the Lord brings it to an end, even that we are still alive another year, but that there is no more opportunity to come in the house of the Lord and to call upon his name. Woe when I have parted from them, young and old. Oh, that it may please the Lord, that the seriousness of life was bound upon our heart, and that there was created in our heart that need and that prayer with the man of Emmaus, abide with us. Abide with us. And if that is our privileged congregation, then there can come what is in the counsel of the Lord. But if the Lord is our refuge and our strength, then it shall be well with us for time and for eternity. If we have to die under the bombs, and that our body is destroyed, it is possible, under the judgments of the Lord. But if the Lord is our portion, then the day of our death shall be better than the day that we were born, that the fear of the Lord may fill our heart. Parents, seek with your children a refuge under the precious wings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that our hearts were filled with love to the Lord, to his law and to his testimony, and desire to walk in his ways, then we shall see and receive also the blessings of the Almighty God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. With the Lord we can go through this life. With the Lord we can go out of this life. With the righteousness of Christ we can appear before him. And then we shall not be ashamed, people. The Lord sanctify the few words of this evening to our heart and to our soul. And he give us together a prayer for ourselves, a prayer for our families, a prayer for the country, and for those that rule over us, but also for our congregation and for our school, for all of us, and that he fills us in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whom he is well pleased forever. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony for all of our heart and soul. that it made impression what we have heard in this evening out of thy holy word, that it never shall testify against us in the day of days, but that it humble us, that we storm thy mercy seat by day and by night, also for our country and for our nature, leaving us not over to ourselves and the foolishness of our hearts, but, O Lord, that we are reconciled with thee and restored into communion and fellowship with thee, and that the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ be round about us also in this season, as a fiery wall, hear us, supply the needs of the whole congregation, elders and deacons, each and every one, fathers and mothers and children. Lord, bind us at thy throne and give us no rest till we find rest in thee, and that for Christ's sake only. Amen. Now we sing together where we are rising from our seats. Oh, why art thou hiding the light of thy face, forgetting our burden of grief and disgrace? Our soul is bowed down, yea, we cleave to the dust. Rise, help and redeem us, thy mercy we trust. 1:23, the last stanza. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. Amen.